You're listening to The Gigcast, webcomic news for the fans, by the fans. Joining us now on The Gigcast is a webcomic artist we've talked to before, and with this election season just coming to an end and some changes in technology, was a great idea. From Zorf Burton Fred, it's Don Griffin once again. Don, how are you doing?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Not much. This is your, remember last time, folks, she was on the telephone and sounded like she was calling in from Istanbul. Not anymore. She's got a new... You got a new tablet PC that you're calling in on, which is making it wonderful, because now everybody
is... My new expensive headset works really well.
Crystal clear. crystal clear. Excellent.
And I can actually hear Scott this time, which is really nice when someone asks me a question.
Well, that's not always the best
deal. I was going to say, most people find that unimportant.
Oh, what's Scott say? Oh, who cares?
Doesn't matter. He's not important.
We love you, Scott. We love you.
All right.
That makes two people.
Confetti.
Okay, so what's been going on with Zorf Burton Fred? You've been getting into this. So you're from the battleground state of Pennsylvania, so you've been really focusing on the election in your comic lately. How did this storyline come about, and what's been going on in that wacky alien world of theirs?
Well, I was kind of hesitant to take on things like politics, religion. You don't want to offend readers. You don't want to lose readers. And mm-hmm. I wasn't quite sure how to handle it. And with the tone of the strip, I really do want to attack everything that happens to humans. And elections, politics are all part of that, especially, you know, every 4 years in the U.S., it just goes crazy. And I wanted them to be able to touch on it. I didn't want to completely avoid it. I didn't want to wuss out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't sure how to attack it. You can go the nice guy route and just kind of make fun of politics as a whole, but don't actually take a side. Don't take a stand on anything. Just kind of, you know, wash over it. Or you can dig right in and let everyone know your bias and just say, this is how I feel, and, you know, and... be prepared to lose some readers, to anger some people. But, you know, I decided in the end to kind of go for something a little bit different. Just go completely silly and do something that was a little bit more just goofy overall, instead of being too preachy or just laying into one candidate over the other or something. And I took my storyline through this by actually putting all these different political figures like Sarah Palin and Osama bin Laden and putting them in their doghouse. They just randomly got zapped there. And it was just so ridiculous that I think it went over well enough that even if someone was a Republican or conservative and would get upset by me making fun of Sarah, they might be able to just enjoy the silliness of it.
Well, and that also explains why we haven't been able to find Osama bin Laden. He's been in your doghouse.
I'm letting loose the secret now, boys. Hang on.
So, how were the comments over this storyline with the whole political thing? Did most of your fans go along with it all right, or did you get anybody that was a little bit tweaked one way or another?
I think 99% of the comments people were happy with. You know, a couple people referred to me as fearless, which was a big compliment. You know, I think some people were kind of saying, oh, yeah, I you don't show your bias at all, you know, very sarcastically. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I did show, you know, who I was favoring, or really not favoring, I should say. But I don't think I just, like, destroyed them. You know, I think I just kind of made fun of it. And in all honesty, I tried really hard to think of a Democrat in the recent times that I could really just make fun of. Someone that did something so ridiculous that they're just hiding away now.
I did not have sex with that woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's why I put Monica Lewinsky.
We're going to go to Minnesota, and we're going to go to Wisconsin, and we're going to go to...
Yeah!
Yeah, but Howard Dean didn't really go into hiding.
He's well, not yeah, really became anything. The.
Yeah, yeah. He took it into a different direction. He kind of embraced the fact that he kind of quickly became a a celebrity for the wrong reason, and then
right.
and turned it around into a positive for himself.
Sure.
But he just wasn't in hiding the way that everybody else was in the doghouse. So
true.
That's why I threw Monica Lewinsky in there, because where the hell has she been? So
she actually started up her own business.
She's been selling her bags on QVC home shopping.
Yeah, she's making millions.
Because it's very informative.
And they're all very well. All of her bags are very well scotch guarded. So it's really, really good.
They come complete with cigars.
Right. It's a cigar pocket, and they're all fully scotch guarded. Exactly.
There you go.
Built-in
you
humidor.
You need a cell phone pocket. You need a cigar pocket.
So cool. So I'm glad that worked out for you. Now, are all web cartoonists from Pennsylvania like squarely in the liberal Democrat camp?
Well, I can't say I know all the cartoonists in Pennsylvania. But,
well, the ones in my experience, you know, there's you, and then there's the Rolls Brothers, and up there, which are that were out stomping for Obama for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm right. Nothing, anything wrong with that. It's good to be activist, and I guess we get, you know, there's a huge history of political cartoonists, right? So I guess there's a. It's just kind of funny, the ones that I know anyway, but.
Well, I know Pennsylvania is an interesting state because, you know, you have two very different ways of living. You have the Philadelphia side, which is getting closer to New York and East Coast and everything.
Yeah.
And then as you get more west, you get Pittsburgh, and you get into Lancaster.
Scranton.
You know,
I know who's from Scranton. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you get totally different. Like, that gets out to the Midwest. You know, I'm originally from Cleveland, and I know the difference between the Midwest lifestyle and, you know, when you're in Philly, it's getting more East Coast, it's getting more New York, it's upbeat, it's, you know, always
moving. And then you have the Amish, which are totally...
Yeah, right in the middle. And then you have the Amish. And like, where'd this come from? Yeah,
exactly.
So Pennsylvania is a very diverse state in that respect. So I think that's why it's battleground. Ohio is a little bit the same because southern Ohio... You know, you can refer to it as like Hickville, you know, you have a lot of farms and, you know, it's much like the Pittsburgh area.
Sure,
and then northern Ohio near Cleveland is a little bit more, you know, liberal and, you know, they get inner cities and stuff like that brings a totally different crowd. So it's no wonder these are battleground states.
Well, it was very brave of you to take on especially on the internet. You know how it is on the internet with, you know, flames will... You put up.
You can actually hear your readers. You can actually hear what they have to say.
I mean, this 4th of July, I put out a 2-song medley, you know, with a grand old flag and Yankee Doodle or something on YouTube. And I was getting all kinds of anti-American slogans in the comments. I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding me.
Just for singing these
classics. It's a patriotic song. Yeah. It's like, it's a 4th of July. Give me a break. But
people can get ridiculous.
No kidding.
And that's why I'm very hesitant. It's kind of, do you dive completely in, or do you take the safe route? What is best for a comic strip with my type of tone? You know, I'm not a political, you know, comic strip artist. You know, I can't really claim to know that much about politics. Now, I pay enough attention. I check my facts. I know what is misleading, what's false, what's true, and I make my decisions based on that, not just what a candidate says in a commercial. Right. So,
well, it seems like
that's my effort.
Seems like you did a great job.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about how you've recently changed the way you make your comic with the technologically wise. You recently came into the possession of a tablet PC.
My little baby.
How is that? How has that changed your webcomic existence?
I can get comics done faster and smoother, and there's a lot less, you know, it feels like there's a lot less steps involved. Whereas before, you know, you sketch in pencil and you ink with fountain pen and you get blobs of ink everywhere, and then you have to wait for it to dry, and then you have to erase it, and, you know, and then you gotta scan it in. It's just one thing after another, and it can make it feel like it takes forever. And now I can do it start to finish completely on one computer, and I can take it wherever I want, which is nice. I don't have to be glued to my office.
So you went from pencil and ink to digital in one fell swoop?
Well, I used to, you know, I scanned it in, and I would add the color and the fonts and the bubbles and everything on my my Macintosh G5.
Right.
And, you know, that worked out well. But I was always hesitant to move completely over because I was afraid I'd miss, you know, penciling and the feel of pencil and paper and eraser and just that gritty feel to being an artist. But in all honesty, and I know this might piss off some, you know, some comicers that feel that there is no other way, but I don't feel any difference from when I sketch on screen on my tablet PC, even just sketching. And that puts it head over heels over top of the regular tablet, Wacom tablet. I couldn't sketch on that. I could ink very slowly, but I couldn't sketch. It wasn't right because you have the disconnect.
Right, right.
You're drawing on one side, you're looking at the screen, and it's too disconnected. But drawing straight on the screen works perfectly for me.
See, and I think if I could do that, I would make the jump to all digital. But I kind of went the opposite direction. I've been slowly going more and more all pen and ink.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I just don't have the money to buy a tablet PC. but honestly, that's kind of what my decision was. Is I was doing kind of half and half, with, you know, like you were scanning it in and then doing word balloons and right. Sort of finding that I didn't like. You know, I would put all this effort into kind of laying out the characters, only to have. You know, after I, you know, when I go to put word balloons in, not being happy with kind of how they laid out, and I just went, nah, whatever. I'll just jump right in with doing the hand lettering and everything this week. And so far, it's been turning out okay.
Yeah
well, it's so. whatever works for you. You know, some people need that.
It has a completely different feel. I mean, it's, but yeah, I'm kind of. I'll do this for a while, and then I'll do something else for a while. I'm not sold on anything yet, so.
Right. I mean, and you know, ask me again in a year if I'm still using the tablet PC. I don't know. I mean, I thought I would always use the Wacom tablet, and that'd be great. But you know, you just get sick of sitting in front of a computer screen and inking when you know you can ink faster by hand.
Yep.
But you know, it's always a toss up and like what's better, what's worse. There's always pros and cons to each list. And this is something I found that has just a ton of pros and very few cons. The only con right now is Vista.
that was my next line of questioning. Was going to go, you went from doing being a Mac girl to a Vista guy or a Vista girl, not a Vista guy, to Windows.
Changed my sex here, geez.
Well, you know, sometimes the way that the Mac and PC people are divided, you think it is the big divide as between the sexes. How did you find that? You're saying you obviously just made a comment about Vista. Now, do you think this is more because you're coming from Macintosh onto Windows, or because this laptop that I just recently got is a Vista laptop, and this is my first experience with Vista, besides poking around in a store. I've never actually sat down in front of a Vista machine. And I'm finding after 3 or 4 days, I'm really liking it. I'm liking the way having learned to do things a little bit differently because of from going to XP up to Vista. But I'm finding that it's a little more intuitive, a little bit easier to get around, and I'm really enjoying the experience.
It's definitely user-friendly. Don't get me wrong. Like I feel like Vista is almost a combination – of, you know, the old Windows and a Mac. I could see that they took some inspiration from Mac design. And, you know, I'm very I can adapt very easily. And it's not like I've never used a Windows computer before. I have. I know how stuff works. I know how it works. My problem with Vista is I have a lot of crashes.
Really?
I'm not sure what is causing that. I probably need some more RAM, I suppose. But, you know, it crashes every once in a while. That kind of annoys me. But it's obviously not so much that I'm throwing this thing out the window.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
I still love it. I still use it. But, you know, I can have, you know, Illustrator, Photoshop, Flash, and my internet browser up all on the Mac and have no problem. I just flip between all of them like crazy. I usually only have two applications open on Vista. And if I try to get something else going, it just gets really slow. Plus, the network connection to a Mac, really slow. And I am always going back and forth to my Mac hard drive through a wireless
network. Grab files and stuff.
And that its vistas are meant to see Max. They're actually programmed to see Max as a threat. So you have to hack into Vista, which is very symbolic, I think. But you have to hack into Vista uh-huh. to get it to see Max. So that was a good 2-3 weeks of me fighting with it, trying to be able to.
You don't have enough space on the tablet PC to move the files over permanently, instead of having to keep digging back into the stuff on the Macintosh.
I do. I guess I just I get worried. I feel safer having it put on a desktop rather than a laptop. It gets moved around and banged, and you know, it's portable, and I feel safer doing that. Now I have stuff I keep on this laptop. You know, if I'm working away from home, obviously I can save to it. Sure. But the bulk of everything I have, you know, and I have a ton of stuff. I have 2 full hard drives.
So basically, it's a space issue.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't copy everything over, but you know, it's. Uh-huh. I just feel safer copying it back to my Mac. I don't know. Maybe that's still the Mac girl coming out of me. Going,
well, no, it's always good to have a backup to have even another computer, another hard drive somewhere. It's always good to do that. Sure. So it's not like you're grabbing files to get work done. You're just for purposes of storage and backups. You're to get back
right.
To
right.
Mac. I got you.
Bulk of everything's on the Mac, and I keep what I need to work on at that moment on the PC.
Gotcha.
So.
Well, that's cool. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Because, I mean, have you seen now, did you notice any difference between using the Adobe programs, Photoshop, Illustrator in either, or is it pretty much the same?
It's pretty much the same. I have CS2 on both, and I don't really see that much.
Okay, you know,
some of the designs a little bit different, but it's not bothersome in the least. It's fine. Cool. Runs cool. A little faster on the Mac.
Excellent. Now, you're also the, and sticking with the technology questions, you're one of the web cartoonists that loves putting their stuff up on Ustream. You know, I'm working on the comic, come see me, that kind of thing. How's that going for you? How is that social networking part of the webcomic creation going for you?
Well, I just dived in, and I don't have a ton of people coming to see me all the time, so it's, you know, it's in the very beginning stages, and I have, you know, I'd love to be able to make some clips and you know, get them edited. I'd love to be able to put them back on Ustream, but I don't think you can do that. I think you can only record and have it there. You can't edit it. It doesn't seem.
Would you be able to record yourself, edit it, and then play it, and then record it on Ustream as you're playing it back? Something like, maybe.
Well, that's an idea. I was thinking YouTube. Just go with YouTube. But,
that's always you know. That's always a good thing to do there. YouTube's a lot of fun. But yeah, I've noticed. I mean, you I follow you on Twitter. And whenever you say, "Hey, you know, if I happen to be in front of my computer when the tweet comes up that you're about to go on Ustream, it's fun just to click on and watch how you do things. And you know, I find it fascinating watching the creative process. And it's funny because the program you use, it's not like there's a camera over your shoulder. You're actually looking at your desktop, right? It's not like it's...
Right, right. I downloaded a $25 program called... What is it called here? Webcam Max.
Yeah, I think the same one that Christian uses, I think.
Yeah, it's what they suggest on Ustream.
Yeah,
if you want to record your computer screen, you can use this, and it's $25, whatever. So I downloaded it, and you can use it with other cameras, too. I don't have any other cameras, but... You know, that's all I really wanted to do was just show the computer screen, because I do as well find it interesting to watch how people sketch, how they ink, how they, you know, add their color and shades and stuff. And I'd love to make a full with audio tutorial of how I do a Zorf, Bert, and Fred comic from start to finish.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And be able to post that in Drunk Duck in the tutorial section and put it on YouTube. So yeah, it's my next step.
That'd be good. That'd be a very interesting thing to see, I'm sure, because the fact that you do it all on the tablet would make it that much more interesting, because a lot of times you watch this, people are working off their scanned in pencils or their scanned in inks and then just cleaning it up and coloring and lettering, which is fine and dandy, but to watch actually how you sketch it, ink it, letter it, color it, the whole thing digitally would be great to see.
I think it shows that you can do it on a tablet PC, because you can see exactly how I'm sketching and the fact that it seems to flow in the same way that you would with a pencil and paper.
Exactly.
So Selling point, I guess.
Yeah, and it's probably comparable in price. I mean, the Cintiq is how much? Like 2,500 or something? Then that's just the monitor, right, Scott?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, the Cintiq's kind of a like a flatbed. I mean, like if you could sketch straight onto a light box or something.
Right, but it's a monitor though, right?
It's like a 19-inch monitor laying on your desk that you're drawing directly on. Right. It's got the same technology as a touchscreen.
Like the tablet
PC. Yeah, it's essentially a tablet PC.
How much did you pay for your tablet?
I got it just under $1,000.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, it's a Gateway, and the Gateways were being.
Wow, that is awesome.
Going out, they were being turned into Acer, and I got one of the last Gateways, and I was really lucky because they were just, please God, buy these. We have to trash them otherwise.
Yeah, well, I think with the 32-bit Windows, which I believe is what you have, because you said you just have the basic. You can grab up to 3 gigabytes of memory. I recommend putting another gig in there I think you said you only had two. I think that would improve your experience immensely.
Definitely, yeah. It's on my Christmas list, I guess.
And I was looking at the laptop I have here, and it has the ability to turn on the tablet PC features. I'm like, I don't have one. I wish I did, but I don't. So, not that I'd use it for anything. It's like it'd be neat to have, but don't need it yet. Not yet. Very cool. So, where are you seeing Zurfport and Fred going in the future? What are you going to be tackling next? And I know you're doing the Ustream stuff and everything else, but what else you got planned?
Well, I am right now in the process trying to get my own site, my own official site set up. And right now the URL is zfcomics.com. And I'm getting it set up through WordPress and Comic Press. However, I lack all the coding knowledge with the CSS and HTML. I am, very, very little knowledge on that. So I'm trying to get help from people who know what to do with all that so I can design it the way I want, have it set up the way I want before I completely launch it and just switch everything over. Right. But I will stay on Drunk Duck. I can't leave that community. So I will stay there and I will update in both places.
This will be the part of the show where we're going to go ahead and plug frump.net. he's got a lot of templates that he's been doing for Comic Press.
Yeah.
Right. And I have seen some of those. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely look pretty good. I designed my own how I wanted it set up exactly, and I'm hoping that I can just
find somebody to make it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like here. I cut it all up, I put them all up on the online. Just put it together. So
very cool. I mean, because you've got a really personalized Drunk Duck site right now. I mean, it's with the background and the all the buttons and stuff right where you want them. And it's except for the whole Drunk Duck thing across the top, it looks like a pretty well personalized site.
And it's going to look generally like that in the new one. I've spruced it up even more. I made new buttons, and there will be obviously more stuff there to look through. Just it's better, it's laid out better. You can easily search through archives, and it'll be much faster than Drunk Duck has been lately. So, I'm hoping that'll be my next step.
Might be picking a good time to have a mirror site up. You never know what's going on there with Platinum Studios. Yeah.
I have my worries.
I also like the listen to me yap on the Gigcast interview right up top and center there. That's a nice little big button. Yeah. I like that. That's good. You have to update that to go to...
listen to me yap here and here.
And here. The pre-Skype and post-Skype interviews.
There you go, yeah. Now you can actually hear me this time.
let's see here. Yeah, you were in the... Drunk Duck book there? Or there's a book?
I was in the Platinum Studios released the anthology.
That's right, that finally came out. I forgot.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, because I was one of those people that in the middle they said, we'd like you to be in the book. And so I sent in stuff and then I didn't get in. So it was kind of like, what?
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
I was noticing that a lot of people were sending in stuff after they were asked, and that was I didn't know. I didn't know exactly. I didn't know anything about the book. And, you know, someone approached me and.
Yeah, because I believe the book was first put together or first started working on before you were even a Drunk Duck member, if I remember correctly.
It was that, in the works for a long time.
That long ago, a couple of years or something. Yeah.
But I felt especially thankful because I know that the book, they wanted to have all new things, all new stuff that's never been published online.
Right.
And when I was approached, you know, I said, do you have any new stuff to put in this book? And I said, no, I've been just updating and putting it on Drunk Duck and that's it. And he said, okay, well, just send me whatever you got. I'm like, okay. Cool. So I sent him some stuff. And even though they had that rule that everybody else, you know, probably followed, I was lucky enough to get in there with some of my original, you know, very beginning Zork, Bert, and Fred, probably that a lot of people hadn't read because, you know, when I started, I just threw a bunch of them on there and, you know, maybe people haven't even read the beginning of how the comic started. So
very cool. That's pretty smart. And I get some people who see that in the book and then go and follow on from there. So that's pretty good. You get the origin story and whatnot, and then they go ahead and find out the rest of the story.
Right, right. Hopefully it was new to some people.
There you go. All right. Well, it looks like we're coming up on time here. This has been a great conversation. A lot of good stuff. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us again.
Oh, sure. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. Good talking to you.
And be sure to let us know when the new site launches. We'll let everybody else know about it. But until then, you can find her on drunkduck.com at Zerfbert_and_Fred. Just go to search on Drunk Duck for Zerfbert, Zerfbert, Z-O-R-P-H-B-E-R-T, you'll find it. Or
just search on Google, it'll pop right up.
That's how I find it, that's right. Not too many Zerfberts out there. It's funny when you said I thought you were going to say you're having trouble.
I'm the only one.
I thought you said you're having trouble getting the URL for the comic. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But you went with ZF Comics, which I think will work just fine.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Don. And you keep us apprised of what's going on.